Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on June 11, 2013, at the Top Hat. This edition of Tell Us Something features 9 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, perception. This week's story comes to us from Brian Marsh and is titled Pictures of Jesus or Whoa, Bitchin'. Thank you for listening.
Some of you are noticing the shirt. I saw him in San Francisco before. All of you need to go see him at Big Sky Brewing next week. It's awesome. How the hell do you follow Mick Shrimpton from Spinal Tap? I picked this shirt out of the few that I have in my house because when I looked at it, I said, how much more black could this shirt be? And the answer is none. None more black. In honor of Spinal Tap, I'm honored to be here again and to tell you a story. And the story I tell you comes from Rome, Italy, a couple of summers ago. I was on a sabbatical trip for 3 months with my family. And one day we were staying actually in Vatican City or near Vatican City. And we went, of course, to the Vatican one day to check it out. And in the morning we went to St. Peter's, climbed up all 582 steps. I tried to count them. I Googled it later. Got to the top of the dome there and looked down and was really, really tempted to just hock a loogie right down into the midst of the mass that was happening right below us. It was an amazing spectacle, just so much transcendence, so much presence. We also, those of you who are fans of Sunday Night Football, we had a Chris Collinsworth sighting. In St. Peter's, he was standing below a statue of Elijah who had his hands kind of like this, not unlike a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I thought it was terribly fitting in that moment. We had a great morning strolling in the grounds. You go out into this big open area, and there is a God-sized mural of John Paul II up on the wall, which made me think about poor Benedict. And the fact that all that Benedict really has to show for his name is an egg dish named after him. We get to lunch, and we have some stale paninis, and we're making our way to the afternoon adventure. And we were scheduled to go to the Vatican Museum, which includes the Sistine Chapel. I had wanted to see the Sistine Chapel ever since I was in high school. And the reason for that was hearing the story of one of our great religious historians and theologians and philosophers, Robin Williams. And Robin Williams described his experience in the Sistine Chapel, looking up at the ceiling, all the paintings on the ceiling, and seeing the glory of God and humanity. And then two friends from California walked in next to him and looked up at the ceiling and went, whoa, bitchin'. And then Williams said, and then I thought, maybe Darwin was wrong. And so I was fascinated from that point on with the Sistine Chapel, not just because of Williams' silly story, but because of all the history and of the incredible artistic depictions in there of all of these great people from Christian religious history and all the pictures of Jesus. And so I was looking forward to going to the Sistine Chapel. We make our way over there. And the St. Peter's Basilica to tour in there was absolutely free. You get to the Vatican Museum, it's 15 euros a pop. We're not living on Rick Steves' budget here for our European adventure. We've got a tight budget. And looking at my boys who are already melting in the almost 100-degree weather, they're not real keen to go in and look up at the ceiling of a cramped little chapel. But my wife and I both want to go see the Sistine Chapel. So we strike a deal. We both have our backpacks. I have the keys to the hotel. She has the money. and I also have the Metro passes, and we decide that she'll go to the museum first. The boys and I will walk back to the hotel. It's only 4 blocks away. We'll get some air-conditioned comfort for a couple of hours. She'll come back, and we'll slop. I'll get to the museum. It closes at 5 p.m. I should have some time to be able to check it out. So she heads in her direction, and we head out with my backpack. And as we get outside, I think, I better check the backpack and make sure that I have everything I need. So I take it off, I open up the first pouch, and I reach in, and I don't feel anything jingling like keys in there. So I go to the second, I go to the third layer. There aren't any keys anywhere in this bag. I also reach in and notice that our Metro passes are not there, and that not only has my wife unknowingly walked off with our hotel key and with our Metro passes, but also with all of our money. Now, we are staying in a hotel that does not have a friendly person sitting at a front desk. It doesn't even have a front desk. It's one tiny little door on a busy street, and the only way you can get into that door to walk into the front area to eventually get to your room is, you guessed it, by having a key to your room. So the manager, of course, is hopping between his other three properties in the area, and so there's nobody there. We have no way to get into the hotel. We have no money. We have no cold water. We have no Metro passes. So we go back to what I believe is the only exit to the Vatican Museum, and we sit down on the steps, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait for Kirsten, my wife, to come out and to make the swap. And 1 hour passes, and 2 hours pass, and finally, about 2.5 hours later, we're melting in the hot sun. I'm trying to entertain my boys any way I can, playing music on my smartphone, telling my older son, Ian, stories that he loves. You know, Ian is a very special boy. He was 18 years old at the time that we made this trip, and Ian is specially gifted. He has autism. And that gives him a great and very simple way of viewing life and enjoying the simplest pleasures in life. And so while Trevor and I are listening to music and trying to keep our wits about us, Ian is giggling and just kind of having the time of his life. And if Ian had gone into the Sistine Chapel, you know, we would have been looking up at the ceiling and marveling at the art. And Ian would look over, you know, at one of the doorways and see the exit sign and go, E-X-I-T, exit. And look over the other one, E-X-I-T, exit. And while we'd be blown away by these incredible works of art, he would look at the pictures, and he'd see the ones of Jesus, and he'd go, Jesus, 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 and then walk out the door. So Ian is there just kind of giggling to himself and having a good time. And after that 2.5 hours, Kirsten has not come out, and we realize we just need to go back to the hotel and see if by chance she's back there. So we make our way the 4 blocks back to the hotel, and we arrive at the front of the hotel. And there's my wife sitting in a chair, sucking down a beer with the manager of the hotel and laughing her head off and having a great time. What is running through my mind right now is really better left unsaid. But I look at her, we exchange apologies and misunderstandings. She didn't realize that, you know, everything that we had gone through in the past 2.5 hours. But we say, okay, the boys are back, they can go get cool. And, oh, it's 3:45 and the museum closes at 5. Perfect. I can hightail it back there and get an hour or so in the Sistine Chapel. And so I literally run back the 4 blocks, and I get there at about 3:50, and it's completely barred up. And there's a tiny little sign on the side that says, museum closes at 5, doors close at 3:45. And I raise my head to the heavens, and I go, curse you, Eggs Benedict! I just wanted to see Jesus, damn it! And I saunter my way back to the hotel. But that's not the whole story. While we were melting in the afternoon sun and not knowing what else to do and looking for Kirsten's face through countless people over and over again, is this her? Is that her? and she never arrived, I started studying the faces of people that were coming out. And some were young couples in the bliss of newfound love, and others were young parents in the absolute hell of young children who were screaming their heads off. And others were older people who were very pensive and reflecting on the experience. And others were probably like those Californians who had just looked up and went, whoa, bitchin', and were, you know, off to the cafe to, you know, get a cold beer. But I found myself looking at these faces, and I found myself more and more drawn in to the features, the color of their eyes, the shapes of their smiles and their noses, the expressions on their face, whether they were happy or sad or whatever. And just as I was getting into this reverie of kind of just enjoying the different faces of people from all around the world visiting this world-renowned, transcendent, sacred space, a song comes on my smartphone that my son is still clutching onto and listening. And it's Ben Harper, Pictures of Jesus. And it dawns on me that each face that I'm seeing, at least from where I'm sitting, is not just a face like mine, it's not just a face like yours, but it's communicating something more, a presence, a vibe that goes beyond just the expression and just whatever words or curses are coming out of their mouths. I realized there's something more going on. And as I walked back to the hotel, after not being able to see the pictures of Jesus in the Sistine Chapel, I actually didn't care, because I had seen a whole bunch of other pictures of Jesus sitting on that steaming step outside the Vatican Museum on a hot June afternoon. And I realized, too, that when I went back to the hotel and went inside the bathroom to try and towel myself off, that as I looked at that reflection in the mirror above the sink, that in its own broken, imperfect, bedraggled and burned out and exhausted sort of way, I was seeing a tiny little reflection of a picture of Jesus there as well. And I recognize, how often in my life do I look for those pictures in these spaces and places and faces that are religious and transcendent and, you know, shimmering up on ceilings of cathedrals? And how often do I look at the bathroom wall and recognize that in its own way, I'm seeing the same thing? Thanks.
Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. More at montanabookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. Factandfictionbooks.com. The Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, and performance art. More at tophatlounge.com. Jonathan Marquise is an artist and human in Missoula, Montana. Learn more about him and his art at subjecttogravity.com. That's subject, the number 2, gravity.com. Matt LaRubio, screen printing and graphic design. More at ranchhanddesign.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. Rockin'Rudy's.com. Bija Body, fair trade organic beauty tea blends. Scientifically advanced, holistically intelligent, anti-aging body care products. More at BijaBody.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for October 10th. here at the Top Hat. The theme is currently undecided. If you would like to tell a story in the fall quarter, please call 203-4683 to pitch your story idea. Thank you for listening.